Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 13, it said, "For you formed my inward parts; you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth." So concerning our lives, there is no mistake on the part of the Lord. Concerning our destinies, there is no mistake on the part of God. God took his time to make us. God took his time to prepare us. God took his time to craft us for the assignment and the purpose he wants our lives to fulfill. He wants our lives to fulfill. The Bible says, "When I was made in secret." When you check the automobile companies, when they want to make cars, they make cars in the secret. They prepare and design the car for the function that the car is going to be carrying out. They will design the car without the presence of the majority. They work on the car in details. And at the end of the day, when they have assembled the vehicle, the car, and they know that it is ready for the public use, they present the car. They will guide the people. They will unveil the car. They will tell the world what the car is able to do, the functions that the car is able to carry out. And before you know it, we begin to take over to check whether this is going to be useful for us and begin to engage it. David said, "God made me in the secret. God took his time to work on me. God took his time to prepare me. God took his time to work on me for a specific assignment that my life is going to carry out. And having done that, when he assembled me in the secret, he present me to the public. And when he presented me to the public, he presented me to the earth, he presented me to the world, he asked a dream in mind for my life. What our lives ought to carry out. What we ought to do with him." Then you check verse 16 of the same Psalm 139. He said, "Your eyes saw my substance." Your eyes. Our unformed person, our unformed personality was not hidden from the Lord. God saw our substance. The Bible says, "Be yet unformed, and in your book they all were written." He said, "The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." You know why the Holy Spirit is bringing us here this morning is because of what I want to share with you. Yesterday, I think I mentioned here that we don't have all the years to live all our lives. One of the most terrible mistakes that a man can make in life is to lack understanding of what to do with his time. One of the terrible mistakes a man can make in life is to think he has all the time to carry out the assignment that God has sent him to the world to fulfill. I mentioned here last night about Jesus, that Jesus does not need donkey ears to carry out the plan and the purpose of God for his life. He needed only 33 and a half years. Some people at 70, nothing has been accomplished in the purpose of God for their lives. Some of us are 40. Some of us are over 40. Some of us are going to 50. And yet, when we look into our lives and we check the book that God has written concerning our purpose on the earth, you will realize that we are yet to enter into what God has prepared for us. This is a new year. And the reason God is calling us into this kind of a message is because we should not approach year 2020 the way we have approached other years. There is nothing accidental about our lives. God fashioned our lives for a purpose. And when you check David and said, probably David is talking as an Old Testament person. What about Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? Before I come back to what I'm sharing with you now, I'd like us to check Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look at what Paul said there. He said, "For we are his workmanship." Another translation talked about we believers, we are the handiwork of God. We are the work in the hand of God. Just like Jeremiah mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 18 about the clay and the potter. There is a potter and we are the clay. We are his workmanship. We are the work of his hand, now created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus, not to sit down. When you check created in Christ Jesus, he's talking to believers now. He's talking to those who are saved. You are created in Christ Jesus according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we are created in Christ Jesus not to wait to make heaven. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There is a dream in the heart of God for creating every one of us in Christ Jesus. And as we are nodding our heads, just like my wife is nodding her head now, we know these things, but we are careless about them. I got to engage her last night and I began to share with her how my heart is panting about the church now. I told her, I said, the reason church can continue to be boring and the reason church will look to be meaningless, no matter how big that church is only when people who are believers in the church only come to church, are only serving in the church for needs. We serve God to meet our needs. We don't serve God to be equipped to meet the needs he has created us for. I hope you are understanding me. When somebody is going to be healed and the person is believing God for healing, the question is, what is the purpose for your healing? When you are trusting God for breakthrough in your business, what is the purpose for the breakthrough you are trusting God for? When you are trusting God for marriage, what is the purpose for the marriage you are trusting God for? The beginning of a fulfillment, please write this down, the beginning of a fulfillment of the dream of God for our lives is the clarity of the purpose that God wants our lives to be fulfilling. The beginning of the fulfillment of God's dreams for our lives is the clarity, the understanding of the purpose that God saved us for in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are his workmanship. Now, that means God worked on you. That means the intelligence you have now is the work of God. That means your handsomeness is the work of God. That means your ability to strategize, every gift that you can see at work in you is the work of God. But the work of God is for work. Somebody say, my life is for work. This is very important. When you work on something and that thing is not working, how do you feel? You labor so much to start a business, and by the time you have started the business seems not to be working. You have done all you could, but the business is not working. How do you feel? So when you work on something, what you expect is that that thing begins to work. Is somebody with me this morning? That thing begins to work. Now, when you check Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works here means unto good purposes. There is a purpose for which we have been recreated, or we have been created in Christ Jesus. And do you know your success this year, your attainment this year, can only come as you carry out these good works, as we do that. So he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before. Are you looking at it together with me? As before ordained. So number two key to the fulfillment of God's dream for our life is to settle for what God has ordained for us. When you check the word ordained, how many of us have heard ordination before? Ordained. When you ordain, you certify. When you ordain, you put authority upon that thing. That's why we will continue to be limited if we are engaging in the works that we are not ordained for. We can pray very well outside what God has ordained for us. We will not be able to get fulfillment. We will not be able to get the kind of result and expectation that God has for us until we settle for what God has ordained beforehand. Now, do you know what before means? That was what David was trying to talk about. That even my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the heart. In verse 16 of that Psalm 139, he said, your eyes saw my substance. Your eyes saw my substance, and on your book all of them are written. Everything that I need to be who God created me to be has been written on his book. That's why a life of recovery of destiny is a life of discovery of destiny. A life of recovery of your purpose in Christ. A life of elevation. A life that will be able to assume the position that Christ has prepared you for is a life of discovery. Is a life that wants to go after the book. There is something written about this year, about every detail of our lives in the book of God. There is something. We must not be living our life presumptuously. We must live our lives according to what has been written. When we live our lives according to what has been written, you realize that our lives will not fall short of the purpose and the plan of God. We'll be able to fulfill the dream that God has given to us. So before I begin to mention some few things which I'd like you to take note of, he said, on your book, all of them, not few. All of them are written. He said that days they were formed and not one among them. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. So every day, even the day you are yet to live, has already been designed by heaven on how we are to carry it out. So, one of the biggest challenges of believers is understanding the mind of God for what he has prepared for them. And this is where our assignment begins this morning. Verse 17 of Psalm 139. He said, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. So you realize that his thoughts are so enormous. There are great thoughts that God, in the abundance of it, that he has prepared for us. So limitless living begins with understanding that God has preordained what our lives should be about. This year now, we need to key. Our major work this year is, Lord, let me key into what you have written concerning me in year 2020. What am I supposed to be doing with my time? What am I supposed to be doing? You remember, the Bible talked about the sons of Issachar. The Bible says, these men, they have the understanding of the time. They have the understanding of the time, because as far as God is concerned, it's not just programming new things into your time. He has already programmed them. The only thing is for us to walk in them. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So when we have understanding of the time, we know what we ought to do. We know what our lives should be carrying out. We know what God wants us to be doing part time with our lives. And this is a very great cry that the Lord wants us to have. And this morning it's my prayer, as I lead you further, that you will have the understanding of the times. That this year, for each day of this year, you will know what to do. I remember last week I told us, I said we should write how many goals? Is it four? I said four, right? Or five? I said for this year. How many of us have done that? You know, there is no hiding here. How many of us have done that? You have written it. Okay. None? Now you have done it? No? Okay. How many of us have done that before I spoke last week? Before. Goals for this year. You have done that? If you have done that, that means you have done it now. Goals for this year, right? I didn't want that. Like, how many did you write, sir? Five. Before you had last Sunday. So that means I was in the spirit last Sunday. So may I always be in the spirit from time to time. Pastor Coyote, how many? One. Just one. Wow. That's great. On target? One. Only one? Wow. Woman of God, three. Good year. Mommy's goal is your goal. Glory be to Jesus. A goalless life is a futureless life. A goalless life is a futureless life. I like us to understand that when God is going to be giving you a dream, God is giving you a focus. God is actually bringing you into a point of focus so that you'll be able to have a concentration of what he wants to do with your life. Philippians chapter 3. Paul lived a very powerful life that accomplished Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We knew Paul at a time to be somebody who was passionate in the wrong direction. Paul was absolutely passionate. If you are looking at Paul, who used to be Saul, you realize that when Jesus apprehended him, he saw something in that man. He saw a passion without reservation that is always set on a goal. Write it down. A passion. Whatsoever God will be doing with your life, whatsoever the Lord will be carrying out with our lives, God is looking for a passion without a reservation that is set on a goal. Passion without reservation. When Paul was talking about his past in Judaism, Paul was talking about how zealous he used to be. Paul was not an average person. He wasn't an average Pharisee. Paul was not a mediocre Pharisee when he was Saul. When Saul, that God turned to Paul in Christ Jesus, created as Paul for a new purpose and a new identity, he brought the same level of passion. One of the reasons many people are not succeeding today is not because they are disadvantaged, it's because they lack passion that is only served towards a goal. Are you going along with me? So this man in the wrong direction, even he did not know, he was passionate about it. If you read the story in Acts chapter 9, the Bible talks about him that single-handedly he will be entering into the temples. He will be the one. He will go before the high priest. He will tell them, just give me a license. He was bold enough to pursue that wrong direction with all his heart. And he was doing that wholeheartedly without reservation. And I discovered that Jesus saw in him this one, when he's created in me, is going to be an asset to the kingdom of God. There are many people today who are simply born again as a liability to the kingdom of God. And may I ask you, since the day you have been born again, can Jesus say to you and myself, this one is an asset to the kingdom of God? Do you know if Fela Nicola Pokuti was to have an opportunity to be created in Christ Jesus, do you know how far Fela is going to go? Do you know how far is going to go if Jesus could apprehend him as at that time? Do you know how radical he was? How he knew there is a purpose handed over by Satan to carry out, and how he was only served about it? I hope you are understanding me. There is a level of apathy, a level of early arrival satisfaction. There is a level of indifference that I'm seeing today in the body of Christ. There is a level of dispassion. There is a level. There was a time for some of us who are seated here when we were born again and when we were to be discipled. The Holy Spirit still reminded me here this morning. When we saw our brother, we have even passed long before Femi told me he's the one coming. When we saw him walking, and I realized, the Holy Spirit began to remind me here how doggedly those brothers followed me up. They are not where I am today. They are somewhere doing exploit for the Lord. But what of if they have been passionless about good works they have been saved to do? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when Jesus apprehended Saul and he got him converted, this man became, he translated the same passion. That's why when you see some people who have failed in life and they said because of that God has called them, and they enter into ministry via frustration in life, hardly can they succeed with God in ministry. Do you know that ministry is a place for work? Do you know that the work that goes on in ministry is nothing is far compared to any business in the world that anyone can carry out. Do you know you can't be in ministry and be growing and be diligent and understand how to do good works unto the Lord and be failing in life? Do you know you can understand the principle of ministry and succeed in any area? So what I'm bringing to us this morning is that if we are not going to be limited in the assignment, in the dream that God has for us, we must not live a goalless life. We must have a pursuit that God has handed over to us. And we must be passionate about it. One of my mentors, when I had him, I resat. I had him some years back. I had to sit again. He's doing well in ministry now. He said he spends 16 hours as a work day. 16 hours. 16 hours. And the night is for prayer and for study. So when he entered ministry, he said, if you don't take ministry as a business, you cannot succeed with God. So I said, 16 hours? Then definitely, whatsoever God has committed to my hands, whatsoever God has called me to do, I cannot take it with levity. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. How do we fulfill the dream of God for our lives this year? How do we actually enter into what God has set before us? This is where I'm bringing us before we begin to round off. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul said, not that I have already attained. I like you to see it. Not that I have already attained. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected or I'm already perfected or I'm already perfected. There are two things here Paul was speaking about. Number one, I have something to obtain. Not that I've already attained means not that I've already obtained it. Not that I've already obtained it. When you see those who pursue goals, those who have a dream that God has set before them and they are able to accomplish it, they don't live as somebody who has obtained what they are looking for. And I want you to hear me, please, very carefully in the remaining few minutes. They, even after they have obtained it, they set a higher goal. They live a kind of a life that is larger than themselves. They don't live in such a way that other people can be running. What I am looking for, I've already obtained it. Attainment mentality is a limitation in the race of destiny. Attainment mentality, a mentality that I can settle down, a mentality that, oh, this is the best that God could do with my life. An attainment mentality is a limitation in the race of destiny. An attainment mentality is a limitation in the race of destiny. Yesterday, while we were also talking at home, I mentioned something very profound about Daddy Gio. And I said, if he had remained at Ebute Metta and the Holy Ghost service began there, Ebute Metta would have grown to a point where Ebute Metta could grow to, and then they would have played too. He would have seen the best. The level you are per time, the level of the best you are per time, may be the best you think God can do until you see more. I don't know whether you're understanding me. When you are at this very point and all is well with you, when you pray for 2 hours, you may be boasting that your prayer life is the best. When you are willing souls and you are able, maybe in a year, you are thanking God, I've been able to win 30 souls, 50 souls to the kingdom. You may be thinking that is the best that God can do. When you have attainment mentality, you don't see beyond that God wants to do more. That's why one of the secrets of those who will go far in God is that they don't see things at their level, they see at God's level. Are you listening to me? You can't measure your spiritual life at your level. You can't measure your business at your level. You can only measure it at God's level. Every time you measure yourself at God's level, pride will die in you, no matter your attainment. Is somebody listening to me? Attainment mentality has even made some people to die spiritually. They have done little, pride comes in. A lot of people enter into ministry. You realize that because of attainment mentality, when they got to a particular point, they feel that they are a success. And they coast. So I told her, I said, that led when God revealed to him that he should go to the camp. When he got to the camp, people said, sir, let us build fence around here. He said, no. Because attainment always built fence. So Paul said, the secret of my fulfillment is that not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. I'm already perfected means I am not done. Whatever God has done with our lives in the years past, God is not done with us. I am not done. As a matter of fact, one of the things that God can use to make our lives to be so different is that we have a mindset that we have not started at all. He said, not that I've already reached the goal or I am already fully mature. This is very important. But look at what Paul said. He said, but I press on. I follow after. I press. The word press is application of effort. So number two secret of fulfillment of dream that God is saying to us after not having attainment mentality is diligence. The ability to press. The ability to apply effort. The ability to move. The ability to pursue. In Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, Judges chapter 8 verse 4, I'd like you to see something there which is very profound that some of us might have known before. The Bible says, Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Everybody see this together. Faint, yet pursuing them. Men and people that will fulfill the dream of God for their lives, they burn out while doing it. They burn themselves to the end. They may look as if they are tired, but they will never stop. You will have attainment mentality. And as they enter to a period that if it's working like this, it will be as if watch it. When he clocked 30, and he said, what tithe of 30 years might of waiting on the Lord? So whatsoever we are going to show you me, I don't want to appear before him at the end of the day and he's going them to finish them. I don't want to end my race and at the end of the day, I get back to him and he will say, I walk on you, but you did not walk on why I walked on you. So I like to challenge every one of us. Don't let us approach our lives carelessly. Don't let us just be satisfied with a normal living. Don't let us just be satisfied as waking up every day. Are we conscious of what we are laying hold on? Are we conscious? So Paul said, until I lay hold on why he laid hold on me, then I am not there yet. We receive this grace in the name of Jesus. So verse 13, Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I do not count myself to have apprehended. Are you seeing it? That's Paul speaking there in verse 13. But one thing I do. Everybody say focus. That's the number three. The secret of the fulfillment of this man, he was a man of one thing. Do you know one of the ways devil can make us to lose our part in Christ is to make us somebody of many things? You don't have a focus. This is a lead service. That's why I'm speaking to us this way. So Paul said, there is a goal, and that goal has consumed me. One thing I do. I was checking on Mike Murdock yesterday and I discovered that everything about Mike Murdock revolves around one thing. Who knows that one thing? Wisdom. Your life is about one thing. If you do many things and you don't focus on one thing that Christ has laid hold on you for. One thing is one major dominant purpose that Christ wants your life. That's the way he wired you. That's the way he configured you. That's the way he skillfully made you. When you are distracted and you are seeing other people doing many things, and because many things they are doing are working and you want to do many things, you don't focus on your one thing, you'll be irrelevant. You will not be able to accomplish the one thing for which Christ saved you to do before you meet with him on this earth. Are we together? So how many of us are people of many things? Somebody said to me at a particular time and said, sir, we began to see a trend in your life, a pattern. We are seeing a pattern, we are seeing a pattern, we are seeing a pattern. And he said, that pattern is obvious. And he said, don't lose focus on it. If you mention Rehoboam today, excuse me, what is the one thing you are going to remember about him? Evangelism. If you mention Kechikuma today, what's the one thing you are going to remember about her? Ma? That's manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If you mention Billy Graham today, what will you, one thing that you remember about him? If you mention Mother Teresa today, what's the one thing you remember about her? If people mention you today, what is the one thing that your life is speaking about for Jesus? So we struggle so much because we don't focus on our one thing. Don't try to be everybody because you are not. No matter how minute the one thing Christ is saying, this is your purpose. No matter how insignificant it may be, it is through you that it will become significant. Do you know, Ben, even in music, do you know there is one thing in music? Do you know for every ministry, every work, there is one thing? Do you know we can be doing the same thing, but there is one thing that is peculiar to everyone? One thing I do. That was a man, Paul. That was the reason his relevance, his impact in the kingdom of God surpassed every other. Many of us are not even doing one thing. We are not even doing many things. We are doing nothing. We wake up, we live a normal life. And the life I hate most is a normal life. When nothing is burning you, when nothing is reducing you, John the Baptist said, that I may decrease. A life of one thing will be decreasing. You are going to be decreasing. Why? Christ, in that purpose, will be increasing in your life. Even the people in the world, some of them know one thing. If you remember Steve Jobs today, what is one thing you are going to remember? Give themselves to one thing. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostles knew the power of focus on a goal. If it is one thing, we should not be doing other things. Look at what they said. But we give ourselves continually. So focus is what you give yourself continually to. We will give ourselves continually without distraction to prayer and to the ministry of the word. One thing. No member, no leader in this church will be relevant. When you are going to be needed anywhere, they will locate you for one thing. It's not amen, no. It's to go and focus on your one thing. Go and focus on it. So when I check on Mike Murdock as I close right now, I discover that he has stayed with it. Everything about his life, about his ministry, has been built around one thing, which is wisdom. One thing does not limit you. One thing makes you limitless. So let me round up by letting you know that one thing can accomplish many things, but many things may accomplish nothing. One thing may accomplish many things, but many things may accomplish nothing. When you are a person, person of focus on the goal, on the assignment, on your purpose, your life will deliver many things, carry out many things. One thing is multidimensional. One thing is dynamic. One thing, palm trees a one thing, but many things are gotten. Many things are produced by one thing, by palm tree. So when your life has focus on what Christ has saved you for, your life will be so dynamic. I'm a person of one thing, but I discovered that there are dimensions to one thing. But when you are a person of many things, then you will become a person of nothing. Fulfilling God's dream for our lives this year, one thing. Be a person of focus. Don't be scattered. Focus on it. Let that one thing be so great that Jesus redeemed you for. Jesus saved you for. Don't let the price of salvation of Christ upon your life be a waste because you are a person of many things. Don't pursue inferior things. Don't live your life for what does not count for eternity. Don't live your life for things that we only, at the end of the day, many things common people do. Live your life in such a way that you are going to make a difference. Because when you are a person of one thing, then you become a person of something. When you are a person of many things, you become a person of nothing. May we receive that grace. Can we lift our two hands unto heaven right now? Receive the grace in the name of Jesus. Receive the grace. Lord, I want you to talk to him. Father, I've had you in this dimension this morning. This year, let me have a clarity of what you have written concerning your purpose and your plan for my life. And oh God, let me not live attainment lifestyle. Let me live a lifestyle of pursuit of purpose. Let me live a life that is unsatisfied with mediocrity in you. Lord, help me to be a person of focus.